38, and we're just age 16 and 17 there. Hast thou entered into the springs of the sea, or hast thou walked in the search of the depth? Have the gates of death been opened unto thee, or hast thou seen the doors of the shadow of death? Now the Bible also says in Isaiah chapter 38 and verse 10, I said, in the cutting off of my days, I shall go to the gates of the grave. Let's pray. Father, help us now this morning. We depend on you. We ask now and we trust that you will give us liberty to preach and power. I pray take the words spoken this morning, put them in the hands of the Holy Spirit. Let Him do a work in our midst and in our heart. Change lives for Thy glory. Remind us of our mortality, even in the season when we celebrate the giver of life. Because we're carnal, we still face death. I pray, remind us of that this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, it said there in Job 38:17, have the gates of death been opened unto thee, or hast thou seen the doors of the shadow of death? And of course in Isaiah 38:10, it talks about the gates of the grave. And of course, the idea that's prevalent in those two passages is that dying is like passing through a gate or a door. And we talk about when the gates of death swing wide. We talk about when the gates of heaven swing wide. And people argue about whether they're literal gates or symbolic gates or whatever. Well, I think they're real gates, and I think they're symbolic gates. I think both applications will apply. But I want to talk to you this morning about that thought, the gates of death. Now, somebody's going to say, well, preacher, now it's Christmas season. You're supposed to be preaching about Jesus coming. Okay, if you want to hear that, go somewhere else. I'm not going to preach that this morning. I want to preach about the gates of death. I have for a while now been very cognizant of our mortality and that death is but a step away. I certainly think you ought to prepare for eternal life, and that's our intent this morning, but I want to remind you why we must prepare for life, and that's because we're going to die. Like it or not, appreciate it or not, think it's morbid or not to make any difference whatsoever, you are going to die. You're going to walk through the gates of death. You're going to come to the gate of the grave. And that terrifies most of us, saved and lost alike. So I want to talk to you this morning for just a few minutes about the gates of death. Now, a gate or a door serves several functions. It allows admittance or exit sometimes. Sometimes a gate can be locked and it can allow you to go one way but not go the other. A gate or a door controls where you're at. You know, you go through a door and you now have access to things you did not have access to before. Of course, if the door or the gate is locked, it denies you access to things you used to have, or it can deny you access to things you would like to have now. It just depends on which side of the door you're on. Your condition, your privileges, your liberties, your environment, your opportunities, your responsibilities, all depend on which side of the door, which side of the gate you're on. People say, well, I could do so-and-so if I could get through the door, if I could get to the gate, if I could get to the other side. Of course, if you get over there, you might be denied things you had here. So a gate, door, can be an opening opportunity and blessing. It can be an opening to disappointment, sorrow, and sadness. Amen. Now, I want to give you, I only have 3 points this morning. I have 15 sub-points, but I only have 3 points. I want to talk to you about the gates of death. And I want to mention in passing some things that are common to all men, saved or lost, about the gates of death. No making difference whether you're a child of the king or a child of the devil. It won't make any difference whatsoever. These things are true about passing through the gate of death. I'm going to give you 3 of those. Then I want to give you 4 things about the gates of death that apply to lost men and women. To all lost men and lost women. They are true. If you've never trusted Christ and you pass through the gate, these things will be your lot. This is your future on the other side of the gate of death. Then I want to give you 6 things that apply to the saved. If you're saved by God's grace and washed in the blood of the Lamb, when you pass through the gates of death, this is your future. Amen? And so if you'll give me a few minutes, we'll talk about the gates of death. Now first, let's talk about the things that are common to all people. Saved, lost, black, white, good, bad, Jew, Gentile, Arab, Muslim, Hindu, it don't make any difference. If you die, these things are true of you. Number one, death's gate closes on time and opens on eternity. The only time you're ever going to have, you got right now.
Amen.
When you die, your time's up. Amen. You ever hear people say that? Well, when your time's up, it's up, and there's nothing you can do about it. When your time's up, you're going to die, you know. And until your time is up, you're not going to die. I wouldn't count on that if I were you, Hot Rod.
Amen.
Now, when your time is up, it's up, that's for sure. But you can make it be up a lot quicker. If you don't believe it, just step out in front of a semi and see. Amen. So how do you know that's so? Because the Bible said that a man's days are 70, and if by reason of strength his days are 80. It's not fixed. It's adjustable. It's variable. But all the time you're ever going to have, you've got right now. You better make the most out of it. Listen, time is God's accommodation to man to prepare for eternity. God lets you live long enough to give you an opportunity to get right for the other side. What you're supposed to be doing now is preparing to pass through the gate of death from life or from time unto eternity. Time is the highway that all men travel to eternity. Amen. Everybody has got a little speck of time allotted to them, and it'll soon be gone. And then there won't be any more. You ever go down to a graveyard and look at a tombstone? It's a phenomenon there that kind of striking you if you've ever noticed it. It'll say, born July the 4th, 1923. Dash. Died. 2050. But your life is that little dash between born and died.
Amen.
The born and the died take a lot more room than the dash.
Amen.
Your life is a vapor that appeareth for a little season and vanisheth away. You are that little speck between born and died. The priest, the Levite, the Pharisee, the king, the beggar, the good, the bad, and the ugly, all travel the same highway.
Amen.
I don't care who you are. If you live and breathe, you travel down the highway of time and you are headed from mortality to immortality. You are headed from life unto death, and you will pass through the gate of death. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. You are not going to live forever. You're going to die. Somebody's going to, I don't like this kind of sermon. This is just so morbid. That's because you're not ready to go. I'm ready to go. Talking about death doesn't bother me any.
Amen.
Now, I'm not rushing out to get there, you know. But when the time comes, I've made sure. I've made preparation. I've taken God's accommodation and utilized it so that when the time comes to pass through the gate of death into eternity, I'm going to be ready. Amen. So, time into eternity is a common thing for all men. Secondly, a common feature of the gate of death is death gate closes on choices and opens on our choice. See, when you're living, when you're breathing, when you're up and about, you have options. You have choices. You can decide. You can choose. There are any number of possibilities. Now, the honest truth is, God operates on a binary system. The answer always comes out yes or no, saved or lost, heaven or hell, up or down, black or white, hot or cold, in or out. See? It's a binary system. You're either saved or you're not. You're either going to heaven or you're going to hell.
Right.
Amen? He said, oh, well, I've got lots and lots of choices. No, you don't. You only got two. What you have is lots and lots of delusions. What you have is lots and lots of distractions. There are only two choices.
Amen.
Now, the truth is, you're aware of both. And when you pass through the gate of death, your ability to choose ceases. The gate closes on choice.
Amen.
And it opens on the choice that you made. You either chose Christ or you didn't. You either chose heaven or you chose hell. Amen. But once you die, once you pass through that gate, there's no more possibility, there's no more opportunity to choose. You made your choice in time, and you will live through it with it throughout eternity.
Amen.
And there were no other options. There was more than one choice, and you were aware of it. You had the knowledge of both. Every person in this room knows about heaven and about hell. They know about trusting Christ and rejecting Christ. You've made a choice. You've made a choice. You've either trusted Christ or you've rejected Christ. You're either saved or you're lost. Now you're living, and if you've denied Christ and rejected Christ, you can change. You can make another choice. You can choose to trust Christ. But the day will come when you die and pass through the gate of death and you'll never make another choice regarding your salvation.
Amen.
And eternity gate closes on choice. Choices and opens on the choice that you made. And you're going to live with it forever. You better, I'm telling you right now, you better make sure that you make the right choice while you're alive, while you have time. Because when time's over, the Bible said, if a tree falleth to the north or to the south or to the east or the west, wheresoever it falleth, there shall it lie. You die lost, you're going to be lost forever. You die saved, you'll be saved forever. You better make sure you make the right choice now while you have time. The third thing that's common to all men is this. Death gate closes on recording, on record making, and opens on the record made. You got that? Now you are making a record. You're living your life. Daily, hour by hour, day by day, month by month, year by year, you're making a record that's being recorded on high. You're making a record today. You're still alive and still breathing and still up and about and still doing. And so every day you add to that record. But when death comes and you walk through that gate closes on record making and opens on the record made. And every man shall give an account of himself for the deeds done in the body, whether they be good or whether they be bad. Now, boy, I tell you what, you better be careful the kind of records you make now.
Amen.
While you can, you're in the record-making business. God is recording what you do. But one of these days, that process will stop. And when you open your eyes on the other side of Gates' door, or death's door, you'll be looking at what you did with your life. And that's what you'll give an account of. That's what you'll answer for. And there won't be time to change it or to fix it or erase it or upgrade it or update it or modify it or enhance it. It'll be what it is. The only opportunity you have to improve that record, to adjust that record, to modify that record, is why you're breathing. Because once death's gate closes, the record is made. That's common to all men. Those three things. Now let me give you four things that are common or that apply to lost people. People who die without Christ. That's our sincere prayer that nobody in this place will die that way. Number one, if you're lost, death's gate closes on answerable prayer and opens on an eternity of futile remembering. You can pray now, Lord, have mercy on me. Have mercy on a sinner. Forgive, O Lord. And God will hear your prayer and answer it. While you live and breathe, the Bible said, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, the word of faith that we preach. God's listening for your cry. All that call upon the name of the Lord shall in no wise be cast out. Amen. Lift up your voice and cry unto the Lord for salvation, and He will hear you in an acceptable time, and God will save you. But one of these days, you will pass through death's gate, and you will never get another answered prayer. You'll be like the young man that died, the beggar that died, and hell lift up his eyes and all. You know what he did? He's down there, the rich man, I mean. He's in hell, and he lift up his eyes being in torment. You know what he did? He remembered that he had five brethren. And he said, go and preach unto them that they come not to this place of torment. His prayer was not answered. If you ever want to get a prayer through, if you ever want to be heard by God, you must do it in time, in the time that you have life and breath. Because when death's gate closes, you'll never have another answered prayer. All you'll ever have is futile remembering. Because there's nothing that can be done about it once you left this world. Anything you're ever going to get done, you have to get done while you're breathing. So you spend eternity remembering the opportunities that you had. The chances that you had. I'd like to remember forever the preacher or some soul winner begging you, pleading with you to trust Christ, to get right, to make Him your choice, to fix your future today. And you ignored it and rejected it and made light of it, put it off, rejected. You died without Jesus Christ. And forever, and forever, and forever, you will pray to be heard and be ignored. And you will remember forever and ever and ever the opportunities you had. But it's futile. There's no fixing it. Secondly, the lost. If you die lost, when death's gate closes, it closes on repentance and restoration. And opens to judgment and torment. The Bible said, God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. God wants to restore fallen man. Wants to restore his fellowship and his kinship. Wants to adopt you into his family. But when death's gate closes, there will be no more opportunity for you to repent. It will be impossible for you to be restored. You die lost, you will be lost forever and ever and ever, and it's eternal damnation, just like it is eternal salvation. So death's gate closes. It closes on repentance and restoration, and it opens on judgment and torment. If you die without Christ, your whole future is a lake of fire. The best you could ever experience has already passed you by. If you die without Christ, the best you'll ever have, you have right now. Now, if you trust Christ, the worst you'll ever have is right now. Your future is a whole different future. But if you die without Christ, if you pass through death's gate without Jesus Christ, without repenting, without being restored to the Savior, all you have to look forward to is judgment. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. That's not a future you want to make. Now, you're headed to gate's door, death's gate just as sure as you live and breathe. As sure as there's a God up in glory, you're traveling down the highway of time headed for the gates of death. How do you want to pass through? Number three, if you're lost, death closes on sin's pleasure and opens on sin's wages. Amen. The Bible said Moses chose rather to suffer with the children of Israel than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now, anybody with any brains knows that there is a great deal of physical pleasure in sin.
Amen.
Believe me, nothing in this world is popular if it's not fun. And sin has never been more popular than it is today.
Amen.
The flesh loves it. It thrives on it. However, it is only temporary, and it pays wages. And one of these days, you're going to live your life, and you may live it in pleasure, and you may be wanton and indulgent, and you may gratify the flesh in every sense possible and indulge yourself in every sin imaginable. You may live life to its fullest. You may be a free spirit, and you may indulge in every kind of obscenity and licentiousness that known to man. But the day will come when death's gate closes on sin's pleasure. And then, the door opens on the wages of sin. And the wages of sin is death. Spiritual death. Physical death. One of these days, the pleasures of sin will be a bygone thing, a past thing, and all you'll have left is an eternity to pay for and regret and suffer for the sins of your youth. You will not always enjoy the pleasures of sin. There will come a time when you will have to pay the wages of sin. And it's a wage you can't afford.
Amen.
It's a debt you can't pay. But people go on and live as though there were no tomorrow, and there were no judgment, and there were no payday. I'm here to tell you on the authority of God's Bible, there's a payday coming. And sin pays wages. And it's a check you don't want. You don't want to stand at the window and receive your just reward. Not only that, but if you're lost, death's gate closes on mercy and opens on justice. You know one of the great things about being alive? So, preacher, you make it sound like there ain't nothing great about it. One of the great things about life is you can find mercy.
Amen.
There is forgiveness with the Lord.
Yes, amen.
The Bible said His mercy endureth to 1,000 generations. I don't care how you've lived and how wicked you may have been. If you will turn from your sin and trust Jesus Christ, you can find mercy today. God not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants to save you. God wants to forgive you. God wants to restore you. He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. God doesn't want to see you die and burn in a devil's hell. God doesn't want to see you in a godless eternity, a Christless grave. God doesn't want to see you tormented forever and ever and ever. If you will call today, you can find mercy. Now the Bible said mercy rejoiceth against judgment.
Amen.
But if you let death's gate close without receiving the mercy of God, it will open judgment. You're going to give an account. You're going to be judged for what you did. You're going to be judged for the opportunities you had. You're going to be judged for rejecting Jesus Christ. And you'll spend eternity in hell. God doesn't want that to happen. I don't want that to happen. And surely, if you have any sense at all, you don't want that to happen. Who in the world wants to live his life knowing that on the other side of death's gate waits for him sorrow and pain and punishment in eternity, remembering in a futile way all the opportunities and all the possibility to be separated once and for all forever from anything that is good and healthy and wholesome, to be away from friends and loved one and family, and to be separated and isolated from God throughout all eternity? Who in his right mind would want that? I love the second part of this message. That's why I put more points in it than all the rest of it. I want to talk to you for a few minutes about passing through death's gate if you're saved. I want to talk to the brethren for a minute. I'm assuming that at least some of y'all are saved.
Amen.
If you're saved, when death's gate closes, it closes on faith and opens on reality.
Hallelujah.
How long have you been saved? I've been saved 32 years. And I've never seen Jesus Christ. I've been reading this book for 32 years. Can you imagine that, reading one book? You say, well, preacher, if you read it that much, you ought to know more about it. Yeah, I agree with you. I know a lot more about it than I do. But I've been reading it 32 years. I didn't see God breathe it into the nostrils of the prophets. Take that by faith. I've never seen Christ. I take that by faith. I've never seen heaven. I take that by faith. I've never seen hell. Take that by faith. But one of these days, this old boy is going to lay down and assume room temperature. He's going to take me out back and put me to bed with a shovel. I'm going to pass through the gates of the grave. I'm going to go pass through the gates of death. Death's door will close. And when it closes, it will close on having to live by faith. The Bible said the just shall live by faith. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And it'll open on reality. The Bible said, now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face, I'm going to see the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to look upon His countenance. I'm going to be able to bow at His feet and touch His nail-scarred hand. I'm going to see Him, and it won't be faith anymore. It'll be a reality. And I'm going to shout, it's true! It's true! It's true! Don't you know that sometimes living by faith grows wearisome? Don't we like it much better when we have the reality, when the substance is there? But when you cross through death's gate, you can lay faith aside and look at the reality. Not only that, if you're saved, death's gate closes on trial and testing and opens on peace and commitment.
Hallelujah.
One of these days, the trials will be over. One of these days, we'll pass the last test. And lay down and cross through death's gate, never to be tested, never to be tempted, never to be wearied again. Well, I don't know about you, but that sounds pretty good to me. Now, I tell you what, there's not much peace and there's not much contentment in this old world. Every now and then, God gives you a little respite to kind of cheer you up and encourage you and keep you going. But boy, for the most part, life is just one battle after another, one situation after another, one temptation after another. There's almost never any real contentment, never any real peace in this life. And if you catch a few minutes here and there, you better thank Almighty God for it. Because most of the time, you're going to be worried about this, wondering about that, trying to accomplish this, trying to get out of that. There's not much real peace in this old world. There's not much real contentment. Carnation, you know, used to make condensed milk, and it'd say, had a cow standing on the side, and it'd say, Carnation, condensed milk, milk from contented cows. And I guess sometimes about the most contented thing you ever saw is a dumb cow. All cows are dumb. But you see an old cow standing out there, fat and flourishing, standing in a green pasture, chomping grass. Just standing there. They're not going anywhere. They're not doing anything. They're not planning for the future. The whole wide world and all their existence is right this minute. No obligation, no duty, no responsibility, nothing expected, nothing required. No possibility of failing. All you got to do is stand there and eat grass till you lay down and die. Well, I guess that's about as close as you can come to contentment in this world. Every now and then you get a little sneak preview of how wonderful it's going to be. Had four desserts. We didn't eat them all. We did try four of them, though. Went in the sitting room and sat down on the couch there. And the blinds were open. You could see a big fir tree out in the front. And the wind's blowing and the snow was falling. And I sat there on that couch, full and warm. Had my arm around my sweetheart. Had her snuggled up real close. I love that romantic stuff. I mean, I just love it. If I wasn't a preacher, I'd write romance novels. That's what I'd do for a living. Anyway, we sat there, you know, it was warm and full, looking out that window, see the snow blowing down through there. Got real sleepy and lazy. And I was contented. That was peaceful. We sat there about an hour. Just sit there. So I got so sleepy I couldn't hold my eyes open. I got so sleepy I couldn't daydream anymore. I mean, I went up and went to bed. But that was very contenting, very peaceful, very restful. But boy, it'll last for a little while. You don't get much of that down here. It's just a fleeting thing. A little moment here and a little moment there, and then it's gone. But I'm telling you, one of these days, I'm going to pass through death's gate, and when I step out on the other side, it is going to be peace and joy and contentment forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Never going to get upset, never going to be bothered, never going to be frustrated, never going to be tempted, never going to fail. Not ever again. Death's gate closes trial and testing. Not only that, when death's gate closes, if you're saved, it closes on service and duty and opens on reaping and reward. Now is the time to serve. Now is the time to do your duty. Amen. If you're ever going to do anything for God, now's the time. It has to be done in time. So why? Because one of these days, you'll pass through death's gate, and there'll be no more service. The day will come when it's time to be rewarded for service. I'm awfully afraid that's going to be a very, very sad time for a lot of people. Because God gave them 10, 15, 20, 30 years after they were converted, after they got saved, God gave them time to serve the Lord, to perform their duty, to do something for God, to get folks saved, to be a blessing and an encouragement to God's people, and they flitted away the time and wasted the time, and they did not serve the Lord, and they did not do their duty. Therefore, there'll be little reward on the other side. Now, somebody will say, well, preacher, I don't care as long as I end up in heaven. You obviously don't know God, and you don't know God's plan for the future. You will regret. You will regret not serving the Lord. Now's the time to do that. You've got a body. You've got health. You've got strength. What are you doing for Jesus Christ? Now's the time to serve. Some of you never, you've never in your whole life, since the day you got saved, you've never led one soul to Jesus Christ. You go for days and days without being a witness. You can go for weeks or months and not pass out one gospel tract. You can go for days or weeks or months and never invite one person to church. We show no concern for the world at large. We show no concern for our working peers. We show no concern for our neighbor. And we apparently have no concern for our very own family. We don't invite them to church. We don't bring them to church. We don't do our duty. One of these days, you'll pass through death's gate, and you'll have no more opportunity to serve. And there'll be no place for duty. Then will be a time of reaping and reward. Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. If any man's work abide that he has built thereon, he shall receive a reward. But if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. Suffer loss. When it comes time to reap, when it comes time for reward, are you going to reap or are you going to lose? It's all determined by what you do now. Now's the time for service. Now's the time for duty. Not only that, when death's gate closes, if you're saved, the gate closes on the battle and opens on peace and joy. There's a gospel song that said it's been a long, long battle. Boy, that's the truth. If you're saved by God's grace, you have to battle all the time. You have to battle the world, the flesh, and the devil. Seems like my arch enemy is me. My second greatest enemy is you. I'm more dangerous to myself than anybody else I know. I can tell you where to get off, but I always like what I say to myself. I always justify what I want to do. Well, I have to watch me. I'm treacherous. My heart is desperately wicked, deceitful above all things. I got to keep me on a short leash. One of these days, though, I'll lay down the mantle and pass through the gate. The battle will be over. I've had my last obstacle, fought my last fight, engaged the enemy for the last time. The door will close, and when it opens on the other side, there is peace and joy. Isn't that what we want anyway? We want peace and joy. People, if you ask people, say, what do you want out of life? I just want to be happy. I just want to be happy. Well, where there's fighting and turmoil, there's not happiness. Amen. Where there's fear and doubt, there's no peace. You're not going to find peace and joy down here.
Amen.
Down here is a time for duty. Down here is a time for testing. Down here is the battle. It's when you close the door and step through on the other side that you find the peace and the joy. There's not going to be any peace till you get to where you're with the Prince of Peace. Then, if you're saved, death closes on life's dusty road and opens on heaven's golden streets. Ain't that going to be a blessing? closes on life's dusty road. Boy, down here seems like everything's dirty and defiling. Everything down here is hard and treacherous. Everything down here has the possibility of failure. Everything down here can be twisted and done wrong. It seems like the longer you live, the more weary you become of this place. I'm not being morbid. I'm not suicidal or anything. I'm just telling you that the longer you live, the less glitter there is down here. My wife likes glitzy clothes. I like her to buy them. She got on one this morning. Looked pretty in that red. But she had a sweater that had this gold stuff on it, you know. It was kind of a Christmassy thing. Of course, she wore it all the time. But, it just looks Christmassy. But as she wore it, I noticed that after 15 or 20 years, after a couple of years, a lot of the glitter came off. It still had some. It still had some sparkle. But it got to where it looks best. She wouldn't wear it anymore. She, it's back in the closet. She won't throw it away either. But it was really glitzy. It sparkled. The light would shine off of it, and it was beautiful to behold. But as it got older, as it became more worn, it lost a lot of the glitter. That's the way life is. I'm not trying to be down in the mouth or put you down, but the honest truth is, as you get older and your body starts to change and you see the perverseness of this world, heaven begins to look a lot better than it did when you were 20 and 25. Amen. Well, I'm at the point now, heaven's looking real good, and I think my dad's peeking through the door. Leaves this dusty road with its dirt and its defilement and its dark days, and it opens on heaven's golden streets. I'm looking forward to that. I am. Last but not least, let me say this. Death's gate closes on the stormy night of this old world and opens on the sun's shining face. We shall see Jesus just as He is. I don't know what life's brought you. Some people seem to have it worse than others. More heartache, more tragedy, a heavier burden. Don't seem to get a fair shake, but all of us get some rain and some storm with our sunshine. Life down here, at best, is sometimes treacherous. We grow weary with it as we grow older. Our bodies tire and our minds change what's important. Boy, I think about the other night, what I thought was important when I was 25 or 30 and what I think is important at 60 are not the same things. I wish I'd had that much sense when I was 25 or 30. I sure would have done a lot of things different. Amen. This old world down here is like a storm. It's always filled with confusion and change, and the winds blow different directions, and you don't know what tomorrow may hold. You don't know what today may hold. One of these days, I'm going to pass through Guest Gate, and on the other side, I'm going to see the sun, the S-O-N. I'm going to see His shining face. All my troubles will be past. Death will hold no more fear. There will be no more pain and no more sorrow and no more suffering. There will be another battle to fight. I'm going to live in peace and joy and perfect contentment in the presence of the sun. All my days will be bright and sunny. Now let me ask you this. You will pass through death's door. The gate will swing wide and you will walk through. To what will death's gate open for you? Will it open to a lost opportunity? Will it open to sadness and sorrow? Will it open to judgment? Will it open to a lake of fire? Will it open on the golden streets above to Jesus' shining face, to love, peace, joy everlasting? The choice is yours. While you're alive, you can decide. It's your decision. And you alone, will live with the consequence. Have you decided for Jesus? Or have you rejected Him and turned Him away? This would be a good time to make the right decision. Billy Graham used to have a program on the radio called Hour of Decision. Everybody has to make it. What are you going to do? Let's bow our head. Father, Sister Sue, if you'd come play this morning. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. And Lord, as we look down the road, perhaps it's our age, I don't know, but we see that gate of death more clearly than ever we've seen it before. And Lord, I'm sure there are others in here that see it more clearly, more often than they ever have before. My Father, if there's anybody here that's never made that decision for Christ, never trusted Him as Lord and Savior, I pray speak to that heart this morning. Help them to trust Christ as their Savior before it is eternally too late. Help them to do it before death's door closes on time and opens on eternity. We'll thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing this morning. If you're not saved, it'd be a good time. If you come down and say, "Preacher, I'm not saved, or I'm not sure I'm saved," I'll be glad to sit down here and take a King James Bible and take as much time as necessary and show you from the Word of God how to be saved and how to know it and how to experience the joy of everlasting life. Let's quit.